Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
A happy Friday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys today to wrap up the week. We got the Indy 500 coming up on Sunday. We got our guy, Davey Siegel, standing by, get his thoughts on the greatest spectacle in racing. Also, got to continue talking playoff NBA basketball. We got game two of Knicks and Pacers tonight. Let's hope it lives up to game one. We also got game two of Stars and Oilers tonight as well. We'll talk some more football on this Football Friday. And then we got a lot of PJ's potluck. So many great sporting events going on this weekend. We'll dive into everything and give out some of our favorite plays. As always, we'd love to hear from you guys throughout the show. Chime in with any questions, any comments that you have. Hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, and on X as well. And we'll get to them over the next 30 minutes. And as always, if you guys miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Friday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with our guy, Davey Siegel, producer and host for SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Make sure you guys are following Davey on X at Davey Center. Davey, it is your favorite weekend of the year, my friend. We got a ton of great racing throughout the weekend and none bigger than the Indy 500. And we got a guy trying to go for three in a row in Joseph Newgarden. I know there's a lot of controversy surrounding him this week. He's going to be starting last in the Indy 500. What do you make of his chances? He's 12-1 to win this week, but maybe betting him top three, top five could be a better option. How would you bet Newgarden at all this week?
I think there's a lot of value with Joseph, and that's because of the drama and the controversy that has been playing out this week. To make a long story short, essentially, the three Team Penske cars of Will Power, Scott McLaughlin, and Joseph Newgarden, they were found to have an illegal attenuator on the back of their car. They deem, and it's been, you know, basically said, that it's not a performance advantage. It's a safety thing, and it's essentially a cosmetic thing. Now, the fact of the matter is, they modified a part that's single source supply. You can't do that. They also happened to do the same thing to their cars last year, which Joseph Newgarden obviously won. So I think the value there comes in 12-1 because he's not starting in the top 12 or in the top six, where he probably would have started if this violation were not to have been found. So track position is important in any form of motorsports, Indy 500 included. But I think that value for a two-time and defending winner of this race is only because he is starting on the last row. But mark my words, you will see Joseph Newgarden and that Team Penske machine up front by day's end, no question.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. 12-1, good value there on Newgarden. The favorite in the race, Davey, is Pato O'Ward. He finished second in the Indy 500 last year. He's the guy to beat, according to odds makers this year. Do you think that Pato is the rightful favorite?
Probably. And I think, again, because the Penske cars don't have track position to start, so I feel like the books are kind of hedging there. If the Penske cars had the track position, I think you would see them at the top of the board for sure. But given Pato's success on ovals, given Pato's success at this track specifically, and how he's come so close so many times before, and where he's starting, I think he's a rightful favorite, and he's a fan favorite too. He's a Mexican driver. I don't know if he has an official nickname, but I feel like the Mexican Missile might be a good one, because that man is fast as all get out. He's had some tryouts for FP1 and Formula One with McLaren F1 team. He's obviously with Arrow McLaren right now in the NTT IndyCar Series. I think it would be a really, really popular win for the Mexican driver if he were to get it done on Sunday and chug some milk. So as the favorite, I think that's a totally, totally legitimate line for Vegas.
Kyle Larson, once again, Davey, is doing the double. He's going to be racing the Indy 500, and then he's going to go to Charlotte, where he's the favorite in that race in NASCAR. We're going to get your thoughts on that Charlotte race coming up here in a bit. But just your thoughts on Larson doing the double again. I know it's a major story. Do you think he could be in contention at the Indy 500? We know he's going to be in Charlotte, but do you think he can be in Indianapolis?
I think it's possible. Now, last year when the double was planned but obviously wasn't executed because of Mother Nature, which was crazy because the same rainstorm that delayed the start of the Indy 500 meant that it was a red flag in Charlotte and he was not able to get in the car to finish that race. That was crazy. So we're knocking on all the wood we can find and hope that the weather cooperates this year. He's starting 21st for the greatest spectacle in racing on Sunday in Speedway. So I don't think that there's as much hype, as much hubbub, as much expected out of Kyle Larson for Indy this year as there was last year, because he qualified so well. He was showing so much speed. This year, Larson crashed in open practice, and he crashed in practice the week leading up to qualifying and time trials. So he's not alone in that. There's been a lot of other drivers that have run into issues, but I think the main goal for Kyle on Sunday at Indy is not to win the race. It's not to contend for a win. It's to finish all the laps. Now, if you ask him, I'm sure he's going to say, yes, of course I want to win. Yes, of course I want to contend. I think realistically where the speed in that car is and where that team is at the moment, finishing all 500 miles, keeping themselves in the game, that will be a successful day for them. But at the same time, Pato O'Ward, who we just spoke about, that's his teammate, and they essentially have identical cars. So you can't say that he doesn't have the equipment underneath him, because he does. So I'll be looking to see how he does in the first leg of his double on Sunday. 1,100 miles is a lot to ask out of him, but if anybody can do it, it's definitely Kyle Larson.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's going to be fun to watch. We're talking with Davey Siegel here on Send It In, producer and host for SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Make sure you guys are following Davey on X at Davey Center. Davey, got to ask you about Elio Castroneves, who has won this race four times, trying to become the first driver ever to win the Indy 500 five times. He's 40-1, so it's a long shot that he can get into the winner's circle, but do you think there's a chance that he can do it again?
There's always a chance when Elio's in a race car at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Good pronunciation out of you, by the way, Peach. Yes, I think that there's a chance there. Now, he's obviously a long shot for a reason. It's not likely that he's going to win, but I'm sure it wasn't likely when Alexander Rossi won as a rookie. I'm sure that when Elio won his fourth Indy 500, the odds on that weren't astronomically high either. So if you want to maybe take a flyer and maybe just sprinkle a little bit of coin on a long shot, the fact that a four-time winner of this race can be considered a 40-1 long shot is kind of wild to me. Now, again, I think it would still be a surprise if he were to win. Would not be a shock, though, because he's done it four times already. So he could put himself in the history books with a fifth Indianapolis 500. I don't know if it's likely, but I'm just saying, with those odds and that value, you might want to consider it.
Anybody else that we haven't discussed yet for the race that you're really intrigued by, that you think has a great shot of winning, you think has a great shot of putting themselves in contention, that you think maybe is worth a bet at the Indy 500?
Yeah, I'll give you two names, and one you've heard a lot of this week, and that's Robert Schwartzman. He's a Russian-Israeli driver. He is a rookie with a new team called Prema Racing. He's the first rookie to win the pole for the Indy 500 in 41 years. Pretty remarkable feat for him. Nobody expected him or this team to be in the position that they're in right now, which is leading the field to green on Sunday. And he's not that much of a long shot because, again, he has that track position and he has that starting spot up front. Depends on what book you look at, but wherever you can get him, he's around 9 to 10, maybe 11 to 1. So Robert Schwartzman is a name that I think you should maybe look at. And another one, you'll like this bus, PJ, Takuma Sato, Japanese driver. He has won the Indy 500 before. He is starting on the front row, and both times that he has started on the front row for this race, he has gone to victory lane. So watch out for Takuma Sato. He's somebody that is so good here. He's also a fan favorite, but for some reason, he's not getting a lot of love and not being talked about a lot. I think that we may be talking about him a lot when it comes down to the 499th mile on Sunday.
I would love Sato, Elio, and Pato to be in the running this week at the Indy 500. That would be sensational. Dave, we got a couple minutes left. Free bet. I gave you a free bet this week to use on the Indy 500. Who are you using it on? Who do you think wins the race?
Oh, man. To win the race, not a top five or a top three?
Yep, win the race.
I probably will go with... I'll probably just go with Joseph Newgarden, just because he's probably going to try to prove everybody wrong, right? He wants to get three in a row so badly. It's something that is, frankly, almost impossible in racing circles. So for him to do that, it would really stick in the craw of a lot of fans who maybe have a sour taste in the mouths right now of Team Penske and Joseph Newgarden. People don't like him because he's handsome, he's really good at what he does, and he just does it with a smile on his face. So I think if he were to do it again, it would really stick it to a lot of people. And even though he's starting in the last row, again, like I said, I would not be surprised, and nobody should be, if they see him contending in the last 10 or so laps. So if you give me a free bet, might as well go with the easy money, at least in the last 2 years, and that's Joseph Newgarden to win again.
Beautiful. Davey, in about 30, 45 seconds, just give us your thoughts on the race in Charlotte. I know it's the longest race of the year in NASCAR. We talked about Larson trying to do the double. Who do you like there in Charlotte? Some guys to watch out for.
Larson's the betting favorite there, which I think is interesting because there's no guarantee that he will be able to make it there on time. They said they're going to, but no guarantee. It's the longest race for a reason. The veterans that are good at saving their stuff, saving their tires, and can do it mentally better than anybody else, those are the ones to watch. I'm talking Denny Hamlin. I'm talking Kyle Larson. You can even throw maybe a Chase Elliott into the mix as well. So go for the veterans on Sunday in Charlotte, because I think they will have the upper hand over the rookies and the younger drivers.
Yeah, Larson, your favorite, as you said, Davey. Denny Hamlin right behind him at plus 700. He's Davey Siegel, producer and host for SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Give him a follow on X at Davey Center. Anytime there's a big race, Davey's joining us here on Send It In. Davey, enjoy your favorite weekend of the year, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
All glass, no breaks, baby. We'll enjoy it.
There we go. Thanks again to Davey Siegel for joining us on Send It In. Moist Cupcakes, I see you have some questions in the chat. We're getting ready for a little playoff, Pete, to talk some NBA. B-Mills, I see you got a baseball question as well. We'll get to that here in a little bit. PJ, is Naz Reid ever going to hit a three-pointer in this series? Don't see this T-Wolves team winning a game unless Reid can start shooting better. The stat, Reid is 0 for 11 from 3 in two games. Moist Cupcakes, you and I both know we've made enough bets that as soon as we stop betting Naz Reid is when he's going to go all Aaron Nesmith on the OKC Thunder. So that's probably what's going to happen. I might go back to the well one more time because you're right. They can't beat OKC without his shooting, right? We had over 10.5 points last night. He finishes with 10. He's still playing a decent amount of minutes. He's getting good looks. He's just not knocking them down. So we're probably going to get 1.5 again in game 3. We're probably going to get around 10.5 points. The fact that he's going to be at home, you certainly would have to like that better. I'll probably go back to the well one more time, Moist Cupcake, but would understand if you do not want to, because Naz Reid has certainly let us down. As for tonight, we got Knicks and Pacers, game 2. Let's hope that game 2 is as good as game 1 was. The Knicks are a 6.5 point favorite tonight with a total of 225.5, right? Knicks were 4.5 point favorites in game 1. Now they're 6.5 point favorites in game 2. And I like the Knicks, you guys. I like them a lot tonight. I would look at them in the first half as well at 4.5. I think the way this game is going to play out is the Knicks are going to be up big in the first half. They're probably going to have like a 15-point lead at halftime. I think that's going to carry out throughout the third quarter. And then I think the Pacers are going to make a little bit of a comeback. They might cut it to as small as 6 or 8 points, get the Knicks and their fans a little bit nervous. Oh, God, not again, right? Here we go again. And then I think the Knicks pull it out. They win by about 11, 12 points tonight, cover the spread, and win game 2. But again, it's kind of similar, I think, to what's going to happen with the Knicks and the Boston and what happened in their series, where Boston was up 20-plus points in both games, 1 and game 2. Now, the Knicks came back in both of those games. Again, I don't think the Pacers are going to come back tonight. I hope they don't come back tonight because I'm betting the Knicks. But I see the Knicks getting off to a strong start tonight. If you're the Knicks, you really have to feel well, for the most part, about how game 1 went, right? Cat was terrific. Brunson finished with 43 points. They did some really good things on offense. Their defense was pretty good for much of that game until Nesmith kind of just went nuclear in the fourth quarter. So I mean, if you're the Knicks, there's a reason why teams in their situation with a 15-point lead with less than 3 minutes to go were 974-0 in the playoffs. There's a reason why no teams were able to come back and win that game. It was just a complete one-off, a complete historical anomaly. And I think the Knicks got to feel good with where they are, right? If that was an NCAA tournament game, we would be looking at that game one like the Pacers won, but the Knicks were the better team, kind of like Houston and Duke in that collapse. I think that was my takeaway from game one. So I think the Knicks look better. Now, I don't think they can continue to play at this pace for all six, seven games. That's what we were talking about when we were previewing this series and why I ultimately liked Indiana in this best of seven was because their depth and their bench and how they don't really play guys 40 minutes a night, whereas obviously the Knicks asked a bunch of their starters to do that. So with the pace at which game one was played and all the minutes that both teams had to play, the starters, especially the Knicks, certainly a massive win for Indiana in game one. But I like the Knicks to bounce back tonight. I like a -6.5 against the Pacers. And a player prop that I would look at, a couple, give me TJ McConnell over 6.5 points tonight for the Indiana Pacers. I still think this is too low. McConnell last year in the postseason against Indiana, and you saw it again in game one. Man, this dude loves this matchup against the Knicks. And when he comes in the game for the Pacers, he is looking to attack, and he is looking to run and create havoc, and he's trying to tire out Brunson and get the Knicks in foul trouble, and he's just an aggressor when he's on the court. So I like this matchup. Still think 6.5 is too low. We'll go McConnell over points for him. And then Josh Hart, I'll go over 5.5 assists for him as well. Hart's obviously going to play over 40 minutes in all of these games, and with the pace that these games are at, you're going to see a lot of motion, a lot of backdoor cutting, guys moving all over the court, and I think that sets up for some backdoors, for some driving kick opportunities. Hart had 7 assists in game one. I would expect him to be around that for much of the series, so I think this should be at 6.5, not 5.5. I'll take the over for Josh Hart assists. And another bet that I made on this series, the Knicks plus 1.5 for the series bet. I like that at -115. I think this series is going 7 games. I think the Pacers win in 7 games. Wouldn't surprise me if the Knicks win in 7 games. But now that we're getting Knicks plus 1.5 at -115, and if this series goes 7, we're cashing our ticket. I love that bet, so give me Knicks plus 1.5. As for the NHL tonight between the Stars and the Oilers, I like the over at 6.5, you guys. I think we're going to see another high-scoring game. Oilers overs have been the way to go so far this postseason. And with them down 0-1 in this series, them being aggressive tonight, knowing they're looking for the split, Edmonton's goaltending has been shaky at best here as of late. I'll go over 6.5 in Dallas and Edmonton. If I had to pick one of these teams to win the game tonight, probably would go with the Oilers at even money, but I think the better play is the over at 6.5. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. Make a fast break for the action with an NBA playoff odds boost token. Use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. All right, let's go to a little PJ's potluck here on a Friday. Our guy Shawnee Sharp going to read us off 2 things, and I'll tell you which one I like better. What's the better bet? Shawnee Sharp, it's the first one we got up.
Yeah, first up here, we're going to game 2 over at the Garden. Aaron Nesmith, who shot lights out there in game one, his 3 points made is over at 2.5. That's plus 125 for the over, or Jalen Brunson, 35-plus points at plus 210.
Isn't it crazy that Nesmith went 8-for-9 from downtown, and yet his prop tonight is only 2.5? I think that's telling you a lot, right? I think it's probably telling you he's only making 1 or 2 three-pointers. So even though I don't love the Brunson look at 35 or more points, if I had to choose between the two, I would probably go with him, especially at the plus 210.
All right, next up here, staying in that same game too, Tyrese Haliburton to record a double-double is -105, or Josh Hart to record a double-double is at even money.
Yeah, I think you got to look at Haliburton, right? You certainly know he's going to get the scoring. He's going to be double digits there, and then he's one of the top assist men in the NBA as well. He's one of the top assist turnover ratio. With the pace at which game one was played, I don't know if it's going to be played at that pace, but there's certainly going to be a lot of possessions in this game, a lot of opportunities for assists for Haliburton. I think you would have to look at him for the double-double more so than Hart, so I'll take Hallie -105.
All right, heading to tomorrow here. We got 2 teams down 0-2 in the respective series in NBA and NHL. Would you rather take one of these teams on the money line? The T-Wolves are at plus 120 against the Thunder, or the Hurricanes on the money line are also plus 120 against the Panthers?
Well, that's a good question. Both teams down 0-2. Both are about plus 120 to win game three. I think I'd rather go with the Hurricanes, though. They have not looked good at home in both of those games against the Panthers. OKC, I think they figured it out at this point, right? That Denver matchup, we talk about matchups all the time in every sport, especially in basketball. That matchup for Denver was probably the toughest. It feels like with the way Minnesota's playing and how much they're struggling to shoot the three ball right now, as Mice Cupcakes alluded to with Naz Reid, Ant-Man was 1-for-9 from deep last night. Randall only had 6 points. I just think it's a really bad matchup for Minnesota in this series. I expect them to win one of these home games. I think it's probably going to be game four, though, so I'd rather go with Carolina at plus 120.
All right, let's head to the French Open here. To win the men's side, Carlos Alcaraz at plus 105 or Yannick Sinner at 2-1?
Look, when the best player in the world on the men's side is a Spaniard, and we've got the French Open and we're on clay, we've seen that story before with Nadal and how many times he won it. Alcaraz is already looking like he's going to rack up a lot of French Open titles as well. So, fact you're getting him at plus money. I know Sinner's really good. He obviously is Italian. He's played clay court plenty throughout his life, but I'm going to go with Alcaraz at plus 105.
How about the women's side? Sabalenka is at plus 275 or Swiatek at plus 350?
I mean, look, if Nadal's the king of clay, Iga might be the queen of clay, right? She's won 4 of the last 5 French Open titles here. Has been like minus money before in this tournament to win. Factor getting her at plus 330, I think is too good to pass up. So I would not overthink this. I would go with Iga.
All right, a couple more here for you, Pete. Just go to the Indy 500. As we talked about with Davey, Joseph Newgarden, top 5 finish at plus 150 or Sato at plus 160?
Davey sold me on Newgarden, right? He's starting in dead last all the way in the back, which is why his odds are so high, but he has won here the last 2 times. And so much about the Speedway, the Indy 500 is about experience, knowing how to navigate this track. Newgarden has obviously proved that he can do that. So they're honestly doing us a favor by putting him in the back because we're getting great odds with him. I would rather take him for top 5.
All right, last one here for you, Peach. Speaking of the Indy 500, as you also talked about with Davey, Kyle Larson doing the double. Would you rather him to finish top 5 at the Indy 500 at plus 275 or the Coca-Cola 600 out in Charlotte at minus 135?
I'd rather go with the Coke 600. You know, Larson's arguably the best driver right now in NASCAR. He's the favorite to win that race. I'd rather lay the money than rather just hope that he figures it out at the Indy 500. So I'll take Larson at the Coca-Cola 600. All right, let's go to our guy, Shane Jackson. Talk some NBA, BetMGM digital content writer. Make sure you guys are following Shane on X at by Shane Jackson. Shane, we got to get your thoughts on this Knicks and Pacers game tonight and also this series moving forward. Obviously, crazy game one. Epic collapse from the Knicks. They're 6.5-point favorites tonight, Shane. Do you like them to bounce back in game two?
I do. When I wrote up this preview for the blog yesterday, I suggested taking 5.5. I still would like it at 6.5. This is an obvious buy spot, I think, on the Knicks. While game one's finish was insane, I do think it's important to remember New York was up 14 with under 3 minutes to go, and they were up 9 in the final minute. They were on the verge of covering this game until choking down the stretch. I think it's fair to say the Pacers are like a team of destiny at this point, with 3 of the most improbable comebacks in playoff history in this postseason run alone. But I think Indiana will be satisfied with stealing home court advantage. And the market clearly reflects that as well by moving the spread from 5.5 to 6.5 after closing at 4.5 in game one.
Totally agree. Love the Knicks tonight, Shane. Glad we're in lockstep there. How about any props that you're eyeing in tonight's game?
Yeah, I like under 1.5 three-pointers for Mikal Bridges. He missed his only attempt from long range in game one. He's shooting 32% from distance this postseason, averaging 1.6 per game. But this is more about the Pacers. They're great at limiting threes. They ranked 5th in defensive three-point frequency during the regular season, forcing teams into twos instead. And Bridges really likes that pass. So, I don't know. I think the one player they let get going in it from deep was Karl Anthony Towns in game one. I don't see that being solved until they move Miles Turner off him and on to Josh Hart. So I'll fade Bridges as my favorite three-point prop for tonight's game.
Shane, what's so crazy is because of how game one ended, everybody just thinks now the Knicks might be cooked, right? But at the end of the day, it's just game one. It's just one game. They very easily could still come back and win this series. Do you like the Knicks still in this series, or at the very least, are there betting markets where you see value? Like, for instance, I like them now +1.5 in this series. Who do you like to win, and any value now on the Knicks after losing game one?
Yeah, coming into the series, I liked Indiana. I probably leaned Indiana, so I don't want to change my opinion after they stole home court advantage. But I think part of the reason why I liked Indiana so much is because I thought they were such a different matchup for the Knicks than the Celtics were. The Pacers mm-hmm. are the best team when it comes to passes made per game in the playoffs. The Celtics were the worst. The Pacers make you work defensively by slinging the ball around and moving up the court very quickly. And I think the Knicks were supposed to be caught off guard by that, especially after playing the Celtics. And honestly, I probably walked away a little bit more impressed with the Knicks for being in control of that game until the end. I still lean Pacers because I think it's tough to beat them at home. But the value probably now at this point is on the Knicks side.
Yeah, for sure. Shane, before I let you go, we got game three tomorrow night in Minnesota. Obviously, the Wolves need to win that game. They're 2.5-point dogs. How do you see game three playing out tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I mean, this feels like a must-win for Minnesota. I think I'm going to bet the Wolves, and it's less so that I think the Wolves have any shot left in this series and more that I think they're due for some positive shooting regression. They've shot in the effective field grade in, like, the 40s. The last two games, their average is in the 50s. They've missed a bunch of threes. I think they're due for some positive aggression. The Thunder are due for a little bit of a let-up. So I think they lose game three, and the Thunder probably finishes out in five. If I was going to go with a better angle, I think Naz Reid, believing him, getting playing time over Rudy Gobert and then shooting a little bit better than he has in the series so far, I think that's the way to go, over 10.5 points for Naz Reid. But, yeah, I think the Wolves probably do take care of business in game three, but this thing feels like it's going to be a five-game series.
We got another Naz Reid believer, Moist Cupcakes, our guy Shane Jackson. Hopefully the tide turns. We keep betting him every game, Shane. He just keeps letting us down. So hopefully he turns it around. Shane Jackson, give him a follow on X at by Shane Jackson, BetMGM Digital content writer. Shane, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You too.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's talk some baseball here real quick. Give out some bets before we get to our guy, Jake Hassan. Find out what's coming up on bet slips and bat flips. B-Mills, I see you got a question for us in the chat. You're back in my O's today in the first game. Got to fade Bell, all right? So going with O's first five, team total over at 2.5 plus 115. Is their offense back? It couldn't have been any worse than it was, B-Mills, to start the season. So slowly, they are getting better and better. If you were to bet the O's in any capacity today, it would be the team total over. Certainly wouldn't bet them to win the game. Because even though Bello's going for the Sox, you got Cade Povich going for the O's today. So I don't hate that look. I think over 2.5 team total could be good, but don't bet the O's to win the game. I like the Red Sox today in that one. I also like the over in Cubs and Reds today. Matthew Boyd, Hunter Green, both been excellent so far this season. Both guys have a sub-3 ERA, but they are in Cincinnati. Two good lineups. Reds lineup starting to heat up a bit. We know how good the Cubs have been so far this season. So I actually go over 8.5 between Cincinnati and Chicago today. Paul Skeens is on the mound for the Pirates today, and they're a favorite at home against the Brewers. I just can't do it. We all know how great Skeens is, but the guy can only pitch. He can't hit for this lineup that is anemic. I got to take Milwaukee today, plus 105 against Pittsburgh. Give me the Nationals today, minus 118 against the Giants. Guys, the Nats are starting to get hot. They looked really good in that series against the Braves. They got the Giants coming into town. Obviously, San Francisco's having a nice year, but Gore's pitched much better this season. I like the Nats at home tonight. I'll take Washington, minus 118. Rays and Blue Jays tonight in Tampa. We got Drew Rasmussen on the mound. He's been good for Tampa so far this season, but they don't win any games when he's on the mound, so I'll take Tampa at plus 110. Guardians and Tigers, probably my favorite bet of the day. Cleveland at plus 100. Jackson Jobe and the Tigers are 5-0 this season when he's on the bump. So why are they minus 120 at home today against Cleveland? Makes absolutely no sense. I'll take the Guardians tonight. Clayton Kershaw on the mound for the Dodgers was not good in his first start. I'm going to fade him again tonight. Give me the Mets plus 100 against the Dodgers. Looking at some other games that we have on the board, Twins and the Royals, give me the under. Pablo Lopez 5-1 with a 2.33 ERA in his career against Kansas City. We'll take the under in that game. Give me the Cardinals plus money tonight at home. I know Gallen's on the mound for the D-backs. Cardinals, we know, been one of the hottest teams in baseball. I'll take the under in that game. And give me the Athletics tonight as a home underdog. The Phillies have been playing better. They've also played the Pirates and the Rockies in their last two series. I'm not really willing to buy in to the hype. Might be a little overvalued. I'll take the A's at plus 150. All right, let's go to our guy Jake Hassan here real quick. Figure out what's coming up on bet slips and bat flips coming up in about 2 minutes here on the BetMGM Network. Jake, I'll just give you a college baseball question. Is A&M going to do it again today against LSU?
No. Short answer, no. Jace LaViolette breaks his hand yesterday in the game. He's going to miss today's game against LSU. And LSU is probably going to be the top team once the bracket comes out on Monday as well. So I just think A&M's magic. I know on this network we like the fallen hero spots, PJ. I just don't think A&M has enough in the tank to overcome the behemoth that LSU is.
Jake, in about 5-10 seconds, tell us what you got coming up on the show today.
A lot of bets, PJ, and I am glad to say that me and you are aligned on a lot of stuff.
Oh, love that. I have a feeling we'll be on the Brewers today, Jake. Bet Slips and Bet Whips coming up today at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Jake, have a great show.
Thanks, PJ. Love you.
Love you too, pal. All right, guys, wrap it up here real quick. Our favorite plays of the day. The Yankees are playing the Rockies this weekend in Coors Field. Take every Aaron Judge prop that you can find. Over 1.5 hits, over 2.5 total bases. He's our guy in going streaking. TJ McConnell, I love his over 6.5 points prop tonight against the Knicks. Guardians, I told you guys, my favorite bet of the day today in baseball. They are my dog of the day at even money. And then give me the Knicks, -6.5 against the Pacers. Great spot tonight for the Knicks to bounce back. I think they do just that against Indiana. Thanks again to Davey Siegel, Shane Jackson, Jake Hassan. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday. We're off on Memorial Day. We'll see you Tuesday. Have a great 3-day weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.